So today I want to go ahead and let you know what I want to let you know about this card right here. As I'm talking, please go ahead and be thinking about ministries that you'd be interested in hearing about, test driving. Pick one or two. They're both sides on this card. I would ask you though to write your name and your phone number and email legibly, okay? Clearly, that's always a hard part with handwriting. And we want to talk about this today. So be thinking about that, praying about that as I talk here just for a few moments. Now, a few years ago, I went to Orange Park Furniture. How many of you know where Orange Park Furniture is on 17? You've been there, okay? It's a great family that runs that. I walk into the furniture store, and Elmer, who has started the business back, I don't know, 200 years ago probably, he is there, and he looks at me, and he's heard about me. He says, "You resemble somebody I know. You resemble somebody." And I'm like, "I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about." But he keeps asking me questions. And finally, after a series of questions, about 5 minutes, he finally figures it out. His son-in-law is my mom's first cousin. So he's like, "You remind me of my son-in-law because we're related." And it was kind of creepy. You know, I'm like, who's your son-in-law? I don't know who he is. I never met the guy. And so, but it's amazing how family genetics and how we're around each other, it just kind of rubs off, right? You resemble one another. Today, I want to talk about a trait. I think if you do this, you resemble Jesus more like than any other trait. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, we're going to see that this is the night before Jesus died, and there's a minor detail that gets overlooked when these 12 disciples come together for what's known as the Last Supper, which is kind of a big deal. And the fact is that the detail that got left off the plate was nobody was assigned, usually it's somebody low on the totem pole, nobody was assigned to wash their feet. So we got 24 dirty feet. It was customary. This is supposed to happen, and nobody's been assigned it. So they're sitting around, and they're trying to figure out, like, why I should not be doing this. Like, they're trying to figure out, you know, they're like, well, that guy's the youngest. He ought to do it. That guy was the last one at the supper. He ought to do it. That guy's the last one to be chosen by Jesus. He ought to do it. Well, that guy, he is not even going to have a book in the New Testament. He ought to do it. And they're coming up with all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't do it. Before they knew it, all of a sudden, the Jesus Christ, the leader of the group, the miracle working, revolutionary leading, true teaching son of God, got up and grabbed a basin of water. He grabbed a towel, put it around his arm, and every man who saw him do that started saying, "No, no, 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 no. You cannot be the one to wash our feet. You're the leader. You're the master. Let one of us do it." And then Jesus basically says, "The time has passed. Have a seat." And he washes their feet. And then look what he says right after that. Look what it says in John chapter 13, verse 12. He said, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them. "You tell me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should," say it with me, "wash one another's feet." Look what he said next. "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Now that you know these things," say it with me, church, "you will be blessed if you do them." Family, Jesus is teaching lessons that nobody gets on their own. Now raise your hand. Raise your hand if you want to be blessed by God in some way. Raise your hand if you want to be blessed by God in your future, your family. I would say it's about 100% of us, right? Well, following Jesus means serving in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, Jesus says you will be blessed. And so when that leader got up and did the dirtiest job you could do, he did it for one reason, to set an example for everybody who would follow him in the future. RCC, he's talking about us. He did that so that we would follow in his footsteps. And if you want to be a courageous church, that means that you serve just like Jesus. Look at the screen right here. I want you to say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. A courageous church serves like Jesus. It doesn't mean that we applaud when other people serve. It doesn't mean that we stand at a distance to watch other people serve. It doesn't mean we just throw money so that other people can serve. It means that there's a difference between knowing to serve and actually serving. I love the story about the biker who came to Christ and he started going to church. All right, so he's brand new been baptized, starts going to church. He shows up and he's got his black, best black shirt on, his best black vest on. He's got his best black, you know, bandana on for church. He's dressed the best he can. He's got tattoos all over the place. And he's sitting there listening to the sermon. And the preacher gets up and says, "We got a problem this morning. None of our volunteers for the nursery showed up today. And we need someone to serve." Well, no one raised their hand. So sarcastically, the pastor just gets up and says, "Well, don't all raise your hand up at once. Seriously, like, we need help. Someone's got to commit to doing the nursery if we're going to have church today." And the biker started thinking to himself, "Lord, I've never taken care of children all my life. And I'm not sure that's what you want me to do. But if you want me to do this, you want me to work in the nursery, Lord, you just have that pastor ask one more time and I'll do it." Wouldn't you know? The pastor asked again, and that biker says, "Pastor, I'll be glad to serve." And he gets up and he starts heading towards the nursery. And wouldn't you know it, his action inspired 25 other women to respond to serve in the nursery that day. You know, knowing something and doing it are very different. They really are. But one of them causes you to be blessed. It's the doing it part. Jesus says this, "Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you" what? Say it with me. "If you do them." If you do them. Now, the sure path, according to Jesus, to living a blessed life is serving other people. Listen, nobody in the world is going to tell you this. So in Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at what it means to be a courageous church and put our giftedness into action. Number one is this, out of Romans 12, I want you to notice this, is dedicate. We dedicate our body to Jesus. Dedicate our body to Jesus. Now remember that serving Christ is like serving him, is that I've got to do what Jesus did. I got to dedicate my body. Look what it says in verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer," say it with me, "your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship." So the first step towards a life that God blesses is to be real clear about your commitment to Jesus. Generally, if you're hesitant to serve, that means you haven't really understood that you've got to be committed to Jesus and what that means. Part of it is service. Notice that Paul didn't say dedicate your time. He didn't say dedicate your interests or dedicate your soul. He said dedicate your body. So that means, "God, these hands, these are your hands. You want me to wash people's feet with them? I'll do it. Lord, these are your feet. And wherever you want me to go, I will go. Lord, this is your mouth. And I will say what you want me to say," just like Jesus 24/7. This is real practical. If you want to experience your deep blessing God has for you in your life, man, the first step is to give the most precious thing in your life to you, to him. And that's your body. Number two, intentionally eliminate, look at this, eliminate competing distractions. We dedicate and now we eliminate. Verse 2 says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." This world has huge gravitational pull, right? Trying to make us think about ourselves. It's all about me and what I want to do, but I got to resist that. "But be transformed by the" what? "The renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." So Paul starts off by saying that his life requires this positive action. So we dedicate our body towards Jesus Christ, his purposes. But that's followed up with some hard news, with some hard truths. Because there are things in your life that you need to eliminate. Our culture wants you to be all about consuming. Our culture wants you to be all about entitlement. You do what you want because you were born and you ought to get what you want. That's what the world tells you. You know, none of us have time to do everything. So as a Christ-centered life requires us to revise our lifestyle and rearrange our priorities. We have to rearrange our priorities. I know a lot of Christians who are extremely talented, very gifted people, but they're too busy for God. And listen, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. You're too busy. They got all kinds of capacity, but they got no availability. Because they'll say, "I want to serve the Lord as long as it doesn't interfere in my life." Can I tell you that's not how this works? I mean, if you go to all the places and you buy all the stuff, you play all the games that the world tells you that you're entitled to, that the world suggests that you know, to make your life blessed, you will not have the time or the resources to actually do the things that God blesses, to develop the strength that God has given you to grow the kingdom. That's why he gave you the gifts and talents you have, to grow the kingdom. Now, none of us have it all. None of us can have it all. So, selection is the name of the game. The question is this: what's most important to you? And if you want to know what that is, go to two places, your calendar and your bank account. And you'll find out what is most important to you. But Jesus says these words to us, so our priorities are in alignment. He says this, say it with me, say the bold with me right now. 1, 2, 3, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One more time, just ingrain this in our souls. One more time, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what happens? All these things will be given to you as well. See, we put our priorities first and then the blessing follows. If you want to have a blessed life, commit to serving Christ first and build, listen, everything around that. Number three, we dedicate, we eliminate, and then we carefully evaluate. We evaluate our strengths. Evaluate our strengths. Verse 3 says these words, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Now that's tough, right? Especially in our culture, because we're always trying to elevate ourselves, elevate our ego. But then scripture says these words, "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." This is one of the most practical verses in the Bible. It's about attitude. Attitude about yourself. How do you see yourself? Paul is calling you and me to be realistic. Listen, what are my strengths? I've got to think to myself. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What has God gifted me to do? What am I not good at, right? And this passage teaches us that we begin to resemble Jesus. We understand how he's gifted us, and we start operating within that giftedness. You go, "I'm not a good teacher, but man, I love working with my hands." You're great at software. You're great at with a hammer. You're great at cooking. Well, maybe, as I'm looking at this list, maybe something that's more service-oriented, that's where I'm drawn to. Someone else may say, "Man, I love people. I love working with people. I'm a people person, but don't have me organize anything, okay? Well, maybe I need to be on the Connect team or some kind of team where I'm welcoming people, parking team. I can. You tell me where to go. I can be a smiling face. I can get people directed, help me, but I don't want to organize anything." You may go, "Man, I love teaching kids, but adults scare me to death, okay? Well, man, we got incredible needs in the kids ministry." Paul is saying we need to make a sober evaluation of where we're strong, where we're not strong, and therefore, where do I put my time and my energy and pour my strengths into? So if you want to be a courageous church and want to resemble Jesus in service, you need to dedicate your body, eliminate distractions, evaluate your strengths, and number four, participate with other believers. Participate with other believers. Friends, there are no lone Christians in the Christian life. There are no lone rangers. You never find anybody running by themselves in the Bible. The same thing, we got to be with each other. Look what it says next in verse 4. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ, we who are many form one body," and say this with me, "each member belongs to all the others." Paul is using a human body as an analogy for the entire church. He's saying the church is one body. It's made up of many diverse, but listen, equally valuable members. Participate with the believers. See, every believer is a minister. Every believer is a minister. Because here's the reality. Saved people, what they do is they serve people. Saved people serve people. Listen, this is why I don't wear a special robe when I preach. I don't have a special kind of like shirt with a collar when I'm preaching. That's why I don't ask you to call me, you know, Reverend Freeman. Just call me Nathan or Your Highness, okay? Maybe not, all right? In the New Testament church, they didn't have like a priest up here and a little people down here in the New Testament church, every member was a player. So when someone asked me, "Nathan, how many pastors, how many ministers do you have at RCC?" I always say, "Well, about 1,800 and counting." I know what they're asking. They're asking, like, how many paid full-time pastors do you have? But I want you to know something. We believe that every member is a minister. Every member. This passage teaches that if you're a believer, guess what? You're in ministry. You're here to serve just like Jesus. And consequently, when you put that into play, man, I'm telling you, your life is blessed. Second, every minister has a different function. We all don't do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the ear doesn't do what the eye does, and the eye doesn't do what the nose does, and the nose doesn't do what the mouth does, and on and on and on he goes. So every minister has a different function. Next is this, every ministry function, guess what, is important. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. I mean, because why? Because every part of your body is interdependent on the other parts, right? Same thing with the church. We need each other. Some ministry functions are more obvious, like the one I'm doing right now, preaching. You can see my hand, right? You can see my hand. But can you see my liver? It's somewhere in here. I don't even know where it's at, but it's in here. Question, which one can I not live without? The one you can see, the one you can't see. It's the one you cannot see. And so we got ministry functions happening right now that you cannot see that are just vital to us, like people getting ready, communion ready, or the people right now who are working in the kids ministry, they are vital to our church. And next, every believer must participate. We need each other if we're going to get the job done. If one part of the body is offline, the rest of the body has to compensate for that, right? I mean, have you ever had a body part go out? It's not a fun experience. Did you notice? You know, did you notice it went out? Yes, you did. Because the rest of your body is screaming, going, something's wrong with a part of our body, with a part of us. I'll never forget, I was lifting these heavy objects one time. And as I'm lifting the heavy object, started sensing my back started flaring up. Next thing you know, I'm on the ground, couldn't walk for the next 24 hours, right? That little muscle in my back was pretty stinking important. Well, guess what? Same thing in the church. We need every part doing its part. Usually my experience when someone complains about the church and they say something like, we're not blessed here anymore. You generally, when I visit with them, here's what comes out. I ask a series of questions. Are you part of a life group? No, not one of those right now. Are you serving in the church on a regular basis? Nope, not right now. So they're not serving and they're not connected. They're basically sitting in the bleachers, spectating and criticizing. No wonder they're so stinking frustrated. Listen, Jesus didn't say you'll be blessed if you study his example. He said you'll be blessed if you follow his example. And fame is a tragedy. So many Christians reduce our faith to listening to sermons. They think as long as I'm taking notes, I'm good to go. When in reality, if you're studying the Bible correctly, you're always motivated to put into action and live it out in your life. You know, a couple weeks is going to be a Super Bowl. And I see some of you guys wearing the team's gear out there, watching you come in. And I don't know if you've ever noticed on a Super Bowl team, a winning team, have you ever seen a team that all they do is huddle? I mean, you're watching them for 2 hours, you're watching your favorite team, and you're like, man, look at them huddle, man, they're so good at that. They're slapping each other on the backside, they're really getting to know the plays. Man, our team can huddle. Ever seen a winning team do that? Nope. You're never going to, right? Because only reason they huddle, the team huddles so they know the next play to run. That's why we do this, man. This is just the appetizer. The main stuff is serving together because this is what happens in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of what? Different kinds of gifts, but the same Lord. Different kinds of what? Service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of what? Working, but all of them and in everyone, it is a what? It is the same God at work. Here's what he's trying to say when you get saved. You have a spiritual gift that God gives you. You have a gift that other people don't have, but you have it. And man, when you put that into service, all right, when gift plus service happens and you start working in your gift, guess what happens, man? It works. I mean, you start thriving spiritually. It creates energy and you're thriving within yourself. I'm telling you that things start moving when you put your gift to service. Now imagine this, just get really practical. You've got a single sister. You got a sister who's single, she's got kids, and you've been wanting them to come to church. Or you got a friend who's got a husband on deployment, she's got kids, and you're wanting them to come to church. You want her and her kids to come to church and grow in the Lord. What are you praying for when you pray for them to come to church? You're praying that we show up. They got parking guys out there who are greeting them and smiling on them and being Jesus to them. A connect team that's welcoming them into the church building. You're praying that when she walks into the kid check, that there's a great experience she has and she knows that her kids are going to be safe and sound back there learning about Jesus. That's what you're praying for. You're praying that another team of people usher her to her seat. In a loving way. You're praying that as the worship is going, that all those who volunteer in the worship team, that all that they do that take place every Sunday, that their efforts will communicate the joy of the Lord as she worships. And you won't know this, she won't know this, but there's another team of people behind the scenes that make sure the lyrics and everything come up on the screen at just the right time. Another team of people making sure the audio, that when we sing, that we can articulate those words that bring so much joy in a person's life. And then there's another team of people who make sure the communion, everything's set so she can grab communion, be reminded that our God doesn't hate us, but our God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us. And while she's worshiping, your sister's kids or your friend's kids will be worshiping Jesus as well. And that takes a whole nother set of volunteers. Family, God is working through every one of these folks. Can we give them a round of applause for all they do every single service? We couldn't do it without them. All right, because they have chosen to serve with their gift that God has given them to use to be a blessing to your sister and her kids and your friend and her kids. Ironically, every one of those servants feel blessed because they give, and you will too. So you might be asking, what do I do now if I don't experience God's blessing? Here it is. Ready? Activate your gift. Activate your gift. You got it. So once again, look on this card, write your name. Be thinking about, just a second, our usher team's going to come by and pick these up. Be thinking one or two of these that right now stand out to you. You want somebody to contact you, you want to test drive, check it out. Get involved in one or two of these areas. Activate your gift. And while you're doing that, I want to share a scripture with you from Romans chapter 12. This is talking about all these gifts that every one of you has these gifts. Every one of you does. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. It's called grace gifts. If a man's gift is prophecy, then he says another one could be serving, another one's teaching. Look at these, encouraging, there's seven of them, contributing, leadership, or even showing mercy. He's saying, man, when you put these to play, these are not for you just to puff yourself up and use for your own benefit. They're there for you to be a blessing to others, to help grow the kingdom of God, and to edify other people. That's why you have a gift. Your gift is to edify the whole body. Some of you are gifted with craftsmanship. You are really good at working with your hands. You can fix anything. There is a maintenance team on here, all right? They would love to have your help on the maintenance team. You go, well, I'm pretty good at organization. That's the gift of administration is what that is. That's leadership. Every one of these gifts could use that gift. Somebody's like, there's not administration. I'm like, man, we could use administration on every single one of these if you're good at organizing. You're like, I don't like organizing, but I'm a friendly person. Man, we got obviously options for you to work on the Connect team. You're kind of behind the scenes person. Lots of different options for you as well. You're like, well, I have the gift of cooking. Well, invite me over. I have the gift of eating, okay? So this works together really well. But 1 Peter says these words, each one, that's talking about you, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to do what? Say it with me. Serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various form. And so, if you're a Christian, you want to be a blessed, then use and activate your spiritual gift, and you will look more like your Father. See, the minimum experience or request we make here at RCC is you worship 1 hour, you serve 1 hour, and you get in a life group to be with other people 1 hour each week. To get connected and study God's word. You worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour, and then you get in a life group 1 hour each week. That's the minimum. That's normal. Anything that's under that is abnormal. And so we give this goal because we don't want people just showing up and, writing a couple of verses in their Bible and then feeling good and just heading home. No, we want you engaged because that's the glue that connects us together into what God's doing here. And so right now, you might be going, God's worked so much in my life. Where's the need greatest, Pastor? I would say this, the kids ministry. The kids ministry. Love to have your help there. You know, Jesus loved two types of people big time. He loved lost people. He loved little people. And right now, our kids' ministry is growing and thriving. We can use all the help we can get in that ministry. So go ahead and fill out the card right now. You might be thinking this while you're filling out the card. I'm going to ask the ushers to head up here right now to get situated because they're going to walk down the rows in just a second. So while they're heading up to the front, the ushers are right now, I'm going to, you might be asking yourself, you know, well, Nathan, should I pray about this? And I'm going to be honest with you. Ready? Here's my honest answer. Nope. You don't need to pray about this. The Bible's crystal clear. Jesus says, you must, if you're going to be his follower, you must serve. What you need to do is obey. Don't let a year go by going, Lord, show me a sign. He's already shown you a sign. A bald-headed pastor just gave you a sign. So right now, the ushers are going to make their way from the front to the back. If you can, go ahead and pass your cards to the side, and they'll pick those cards up from you right now. And so they're going to start working their way to the back and go ahead and hand those cards over to them. So we're going to receive them today. Listen, if you sign this card and nobody calls you, call the church. Listen, I wouldn't let a single soul rob me of the blessing that comes in serving the Lord. I'm not going to let anybody do that. So you call the church. Jesus said these words. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do what? Say it with me. If you do them. I'm not going to sit around waiting for my phone to ring. I'm going to engage myself. And that's what I hope for you too. The more you serve like Jesus, the more you resemble Jesus, the more your life will be blessed. And that can start for you right here, right now, today. Will you stand with me? Please stand, and while you're standing, you can hand those cards to the end of the aisle. Let me pray over you while those cards are being handed in right now. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, I thank you so much for how you have served us, ultimately through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you have washed our feet consistently without us even knowing it. You have gone before us in ways we can't even grasp. Lord, thank you so much for how you've served every single one of us. May we just say thank you. By serving just like Jesus. Lord, I thank you for all those mighty warriors right now who are serving behind the scenes as we're having the service. We thank you for all those who are serving in our kids' ministry, in our cafe ministry, in our connect, our usher team, the parking lot, the worship team, the audio visual team. We thank you for all the outreach and the core ministries and the food and friends. Lord, so many incredible ministries here. And Lord, I just thank you so much. I pray that our servants do nothing but be multiplied through our church family here at RCC, and may it all resemble Jesus Christ, and may you get the glory from it. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. The whole church said, amen. Can we give God the praise in how he serves us? So if we can be a blessing to you, you have a prayer, a concern, a joy, you just need someone to be there for you. Our prayer team's up here. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus because he's been so good to you, and you will receive him as your Lord and Savior. Please come as we worship him together.